Amen. 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 We have it easy in America. Amen. As far as being persecuted. Nobody's threatened your life, have they? Amen. You renounce Jesus or you're going to die, and that's not happened to any of you, has it? No. No, but that does happen around the world. And you know, the amazing thing is, believe it or not, back after Rome destroyed the temple, used Jewish and Christian slaves, took them back to Rome, used the wealth out of the temple treasury to finance the building of the Colosseum, used Jewish and Christian slaves to build it, and then they began to persecute the Christians by feeding them to the lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, and the gladiators. The faith of the Christian martyrs, they thought they could wipe out Christianity, but the faith of the Christian martyrs caused Christianity to prosper. Amen. Lord, we should never take it for granted the gift that we've been given in this nation right now, that we can get up on Sunday morning and we can go worship God freely. Amen. We don't have to hide to do it. We can worship God freely. Amen. And that is a great gift of God. Everybody got an offering envelope, needs one. Hallelujah. We need an offering plate, don't we, Bernie? Glory to God. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we thank you for giving us seed that we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place this seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll multiply. You'll use it. You will multiply that seed. You'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got all kinds of notes. I don't know what time we'll get out of here. Hallelujah. You're for that? Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Everybody blessed this morning. Now, we got a lot going on. I guess there's a whole bunch of stuff down there we're sending to soldiers, right? So, I tell you what, as small in numbers this church has been, this is one of the more giving churches that I've ever been a part of. Amen. So, I thank you for that. Glory to God. I tell people all the time, they say, you know, pastor comes up to you, he says, well, how's your church doing? What he's really asking is, how many people's in that church? And I say, you know, I don't know, but we're healthy. You know, we love each other. You know, we're not fighting amongst each other. And there's probably about 75, 80% of them are tithers. And they're like, what? Because the national average is less than 8% of Christians tithe. Less than 8%. Less than 8%. That's been a few years ago, but it's not very high. Glory to God. It's not. How many know the church needs to do better? All right. And Carolyn needs you ladies. Is it next weekend? No, that conference is not next weekend. Week after that. You need to sign up if you're going to that ladies' conference in Belpre, Ohio, okay? The 28th to 29th, okay? I told you, get there early enough, I'll take you out to eat. Okay. There's a couple really nice restaurants close by. They're at Jackie's category. You know. Give Carolyn the names if you're going. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. So you ladies got that? Okay. All right, now. I want to tell you something else. I'm going to go over on this side. Next Sunday is our 19th anniversary. Our bishop, the bishop of E4N, Ephesians 4 Network, will be with us. We are part of the Ephesians 4 Network is the Great Lakes region of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Okay? And we're part of that. I sit on the board, and I'm the discipleship minister, and I wear lots of hats, okay? Because there's not a lot of us. There's only like 65 or 70 churches in E4N. But we're starting to grow. So we all wear a lot of hats, amen? And usually if you hang around me, you know, I'll try to drag you into one of the projects I got going, like youth camp or our annual conference, summer conference, you know? So, but anyway, next week, we have our regular Sunday morning service. I'm going to set in some leadership, and I'm going to ordain some people next week. Bishop Brad is going to speak on the importance of leadership in the church. And then we're going to lay hands on a few people, on our elders. Most of you don't even know who your elders are in this church, so I want to make that crystal clear, okay? Because you need to be able to go to them for prayer if you need to. Okay, all right. Or if you whatever you need to be able to go to them, not just come to me. Okay, we can't grow if I'm the only one you see up here. Okay, you have to understand leadership and how it works in the church. And to be totally honest and transparent with you, that's not my forte. Teaching leadership is not part of my gift. Although God's anointed me, I can teach anything if I study long enough, you know, but I have that personality, and I get it from my mom's side of the family. You don't ask for help. You don't go looking for help. If it needs done, you just do it, you know. I don't need to be told to do it. Well, now that I'm getting older, I need to be told some because I forget. But anyway, but I got your new daily breads back there, Mike, so I didn't forget those. All right, now. Next thing I want to tell you, I really want to preach. Next thing, see these two jars? Somebody asked me the other day, well, you got two jars now. Remember, we had this blue one, right, for a long time. And this brown one, it's brown because the carpet in Jackson was brown. Matched perfect. Okay? But we closed that church, and so I brought the jar here. So, you remember what this jar is for? This is to help our Jewish brethren in Israel through Bridges for Peace, and we also give to Brian Kvosnica, who started one of the first Hebraic roots seminary, or it is the first Protestant seminary in Jerusalem. And I was invited to teach on prayer there. Sometime, I don't know when, but the other day I was invited to go there and lecture on prayer. So, they like our prayer book that we have. Amen? So, it doesn't look like anybody's doing anything. Now, remember, we celebrate Passover, right? And then on Good Friday, we celebrate Passover. Why do we do that? Because we think that before you can celebrate Jesus' resurrection, you must first celebrate His death. Because the Bible clearly says He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon Him, and by His stripes you are healed. Amen? Jesus, the Son of God, incarnate in the flesh. You know, there's people who don't believe Jesus came in the flesh. They think it was all spiritual. But we have a problem, Houston, if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, because we don't have a lamb. We don't have a blood. So if we don't have those two things, we don't have forgiveness of sin, do we? Amen. Those powerful hymns we used to sing in Nazarene Church, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Or there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins where sinners plunge beneath the flow, lose all their guilty stain. Any of you ever been plunged beneath that flow? Amen. Glory to God. And that's why we can sing that one song, I am a child of God. Glory to God. Not only are you a child of God, you are a sanctuary of God. Amen. A holy sanctuary. You house the Spirit of the living God inside of you. So how many of you practiced this week? Remember, I told you, don't come dragging up here on Sunday morning, you know, all wore out from the week's work, and make no preparation for coming to church. Remember, I said, you bring the glory of God with you. You stir that Spirit of God up in you before you ever come in those doors. I'm telling you, if we'll do that on a regular basis, all of us, we won't be able to contain the glory of God. People be looking at those stained glass windows and they'll be shining and vibrating, I think. You know? Well, maybe they won't do that. Amen. But you got to stir it. That's what I'm telling you. Don't put it all on me. You're taking a risk. If you put it all on me, well, pastor will be anointed this morning. Pastor will bring the glory of God. Well, you know what? The pastor is human, and he has bad days too. I know you didn't think that. I know you thought I just traveled around in my glory cloud. You know? No, I don't. I'm human. I'm not making excuses. I had one lady say, you ought to live in this town. I said, why? I said, but that's not what God hasn't opened that door for me yet. Well, I need to be able to come to your house anytime I want. I said, if I live next door to you, I wouldn't allow you to come to my house anytime you wanted. You wouldn't. I said, no. I might have a dirty pair of pants or dirty underwear laying around, you know. That'll just bust your bubble with me. You might see my desk. Well, that'd be a miracle because my desk has got, you know, I don't know, it's just piles of books. I had to put an extra table in there, you know, so I'd have room to work. No, you ain't coming to my house. See, you need to bring the glory of God with you. Amen. All of us corporately. You got your Bibles. Turn to 2 Timothy. I want to go quickly. We live in a day and an age when, you know, we live in such a media-focused age. You've got, I don't know how many news channels out there. You've got Facebook. You've got Twitter. You've got Instagram, whatever those two last things. I don't know what they are, really. I don't understand them. You know, somehow along the way, I opened a Twitter account, but I've never been able to get back in it because you need a password. You know, I don't need to be on it. But you know what? We live in such an age of media. There's so much our eyes and our ears hear that's being tossed at us. Amen? You need to be able to discern what is good and what's not. Amen? So I just want to remind you this morning about the Word of God and about the Holy Spirit. If I get that far, I will get that far. Even though I got a cramp in my foot, I'll get that far. 2 Timothy Chapter 3, let's start in verse 10. You know what? I am so in love with God, I just can't hardly stand myself. I'm so in love with God, and you know what? I have failures. I know y'all don't, but every now and then I slip up, I get mad. Every now and then a word will come out of my mouth that ought not come out of my mouth. See, I done busted your bubble. But you know what? It weighs on me. Because I am so in love with God, I don't want to disappoint Him. But here's the amazing truth. Nothing you do is going to disappoint God. He is always going to be there to pick you back up. Amen. I don't know why, but this is my 25th year in ministry, and I have seen it time and time again. People fall in love with God. People run after God, and then they mess up, and they feel guilty, and they don't come back to church. I'll tell you, my Nazarene roots, they taught me no. Don't you ever not come to church. You come to that altar. No matter what you do, you get back to that altar. And even though I was a rascal, Jackie, and I was, and I wore out a path to that altar. The one down here on 4th and Pleasant, and the one in Marietta, where I grew up in. They never told me I couldn't go to the altar. They told me a lot of other things I couldn't do, but they never told me I couldn't go to that altar. God loves us. He's never disappointed. You never catch him off guard. Amen? He's always, always looking after you. Now, how many of you recently, I've done this twice recently, I knew to either do something and I didn't do it, or I did something I knew I shouldn't do. Has anybody done that? I didn't send this driver a text message. Hey, the tanker you're pulling today, it's smaller than the one that you normally haul. In my heart, I knew I needed to send that text. That was God telling me. And I got busy and didn't send it. So guess what? Had to send the cleanup crew up there and clean up the mess. Because I wasn't listening. Oh, I was listening. I just wasn't. You guys ever notice that? Your wife ever tell you, Bernie? Your wife ever tell you, look at me? Huh? Look at me when I'm talking to you. My mother said that to me several times. I've got some aunts in here that I'm pretty sure they sold that. They said that to me too. You know, look at me when I'm talking. Why? They want you to pay attention. They want to make sure you hear. Amen. And listen, we live in an hour, like I said before, where so much is coming at you. You need to be able to discern that Spirit of God inside you. Amen. God's message inside you. So here's what Paul tells this young minister, Timothy. Verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. What a testimony, Paul. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Did I not tell you the verse? Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm in verse 13 now. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Messiah Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Look what he says in verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do we live in that hour? I don't know about you, and I don't know if you're a Democrat or Republican, but I'm going to tell you something. Socialism doesn't work. I don't care what that old man out there is preaching. It don't work. It's been proved through history. It never works. It won't work. Because what always happens is something that God has fought against from the beginning of time. It always ends up into tyranny. One man ruling over the masses. Amen. And God created us as individuals, and He created us to live free before an awesome, mighty God. Amen. So we live in a time of deception. So where do we find wisdom and truth? In God's scriptures. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. My God, my King. I'll tell you what. You know what? If He gets any better, we're not going to be able to stand it. But, Lord, try us. Try us. Try us anyway. Man, you in that verse all the time. 89. Verse 89. I want to show you something. Now, we live in an era, we've already talked about, Paul told Timothy, man, there's deceivers out there. There's people that lie to you out there. Well, here's another lie that we get told all the time. Okay? We get told that there is no absolute truth. That truth is what you make it. If you think a man and another man can get married and live together as whatever, husband and wife, what's that? That one guy running for president, if he wins, his significant other is going to be the first gentleman? Oh, help me, somebody. Whew, I need help with that one. Anyway, we live in an era where there is no absolute truth. And you know, some of this goofy, have you ever done some of the math, helped your kids with math? You know, I tried to help Caleb. I tried to help Trey. You know, some of this new math stuff they teach, there's no answers. They don't have any answers. I think that's the first step in teaching our children that there are no absolute truths. When we went to school, 2 and 2 was 4. Every time. I dazzled you there with my math skills, didn't I? Now, look what the Word of God says here. Forever, O Lord, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Oh, take that, all you people that don't think there's any absolute truth. Forever, it says, God's word is settled in heaven, telling us that it is God's word, it is God's truth that is absolute truth. Not the Democrats' truth, not the Republicans' truth. God's word is truth. Amen? All right, now, we settled that. I want us to go over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to let your fingers do the walking today. Hallelujah. I have no clue. Matthew chapter 5. Probably about 17 is probably going to be. Yeah, look at there. Page 1297, got a Bible like mine. You're close, you're getting better. Verse 17. How many know? You got red letters in your Bible here? Those are the words of Yeshua, Jesus. And he says, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah. You've got law there. In English, Torah is translated law. Now, let me tell you what Torah means. Torah is the Hebrew word that we translated, the Hebrew Bible was translated from Hebrew to Greek. Okay, and then into English, well, Latin and then English, okay? And then the Catholics get their Bible from St. Jerome's Latin Vulgate, all right? So we went from Hebrew to Greek to English. So Torah is what was translated as nomos in Greek, and nomos was translated as law. So we see it in our Bible as law, okay, in our English Bible. But you know, us independent thinking Americans, we don't really, we're kind of, We're kind of naturally bent, a little bit rebellious when it comes to law. Not me, Pastor. Have you ever drove 56 in a 55? But Torah means instruction, okay? And the idea for Torah is as a father would teach his child, amen? How many know as a godly father, when he's teaching his child, he wants that child to learn because he wants that child to do better. He wants that child to be blessed. He wants that child to be prosperous. Amen? We always want more for our children than maybe what we had. I don't know necessarily that's a good thing. Because, you know, when I grew up as a kid, I didn't know we didn't have much. I didn't know it. Probably some, you know, I didn't know. My parents, they didn't talk about money or the lack of money in front of us kids. You know, you go talking about all that junk in front of your kids, no wonder they're nervous wrecks. And we didn't have any handy. There wasn't no ADHD or whatever all that stuff is. You either got your butt busted or, you know where I'm at. Okay. But Torah means instruction, okay? Come on, it's my service, you guys. Give me a break. Man, I got all these preachers around here, and they all want to say something all the time. When you get your service, you can say what you want, but you're in mine now. See? Verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus didn't come to destroy the Torah. He came to fulfill the Torah. How many of you know that the Torah is full of things like a burnt offering, a sin offering, a trespass offering? Amen? Jesus fulfilled all those things. How many know the Torah is full of priests, Levitical priests, as well as a high priest? Amen? How many know that Jesus is our new high priest, right? He's the ultimate sacrifice. That's the amazing thing about the sacrifice of Jesus. You know, I got saved in 1990. I went to an altar all my life, but I never could live up to it. You know what I mean? But on September 7th, 1990, I got down on my knees and asked God to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, and I asked him to baptize me with the Holy Ghost. And I've been serving him ever since. Amen? But the amazing thing is that way back in the book of Acts, when people were being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, that same blood was saving them over 2,000 years ago. And that same blood it saved me on September 7th, 1990. That blood will never, like the songwriter said, it will never lose its power. Amen? So we don't have a need. We don't have a need for a high priest. We have Jesus. We don't have a need for a sin offering, a trespass offering, a burnt offering, because we have Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. Amen? So Jesus is the fulfillment of that Torah. However, there are things in that Torah, like don't commit adultery, don't commit murder, don't lie, don't steal, don't hold any unforgiveness, don't hold a grudge, right? And then it says something like, love your neighbor as yourself. You go read it in Leviticus 19. Amen? So there are things in God's instruction that will help us live godly before men and before God. Amen? You can't... Listen. I don't know if I told you this or not. I'm sure I told it sometime. There was a... You know, I got married very young. I'm not making excuses. I got married very young. Had two kids before I was 21. Got divorced. And there's people in this town. A man in this town told a member of my church, this has been years ago, that he was going to a cult because I was divorced. But this guy was a minister in another denomination I'm not going to mention, and he was having an affair with the man in my church's business partner, which was a woman, and she was pregnant by him. So when he asked him, he said, well, you're preaching and you're committing adultery. Yeah, but I'm not divorced. That's the truth. That's the truth. But see, that's somebody who doesn't believe that the Torah is still valid today. When the Torah says not to commit adultery, guess what? The neighbor's wife's off limits, men. And so's my wife. She's off limits. Just saying, okay? So Jesus did. We have people that think Jesus destroyed the law. You got born again, the blood's been applied, you can do whatever you want to do. And that is not truth, that is deceit. Because you know what? Our human nature, our flesh, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, because Paul did, and he's my favorite apostle. Because he spent 3 years on the backside of the Arabian desert with Jesus being taught. So it's like almost straight from the horse's mouth. So we have people that think we've done away with all the laws. You grow up Nazarene, they'll let you know. They'll let you know right now. You got a filthy, rotten flesh, and that thing needs to be sanctified holy. Amen? And you need to walk before God holy. Glory to God. God himself said, I am holy, therefore you be holy. Holiness speaking of God and his holiness, that is speaks of God's uniqueness. He's other than. He's not like any of the pagan gods that were ever worshipped. And it's his moral purity that sets God apart from any of those pagan gods. Not to mention the fact he's alive. Okay. So for me to be holy, I need to be other than. I need to be unique. I can't look like the world. I can't talk like the world. I can't act like the world. I can't do what the world is doing. Amen? I need to serve God. And how do I serve God? According to the Word of God. Amen? Jesus goes on to say in verse 18, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Let me show you something here real quick. Let me show you what Jesus meant by that. The one jot. In Hebrew, there's a little tiny letter called a yod. It's the tiniest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Its symbol is the hand, okay? So this, in English, yod got translated as jot, okay? So this is what it's referring to, this little Hebrew letter, the yod. Just to give you some context, here's a hey, here's a vav, here's another hey. Anybody know what name that is? Yod, hey, vav, hey, or Yahweh, all right? So just to give you a little context, here's the normal letter size, and there's that, okay? So that's the jot. But the tittle, if you've ever, I love to go to... help me, you girl. Help me, ladies. You've been there with me. The big fortress Herod built, Masada. I love to go to. our life today. We really need to get a hold of our politicians and let them know that they are under the same obligation to live according to the Word of God as we are. Let me leave them alone. Turn with me real quick. Well, I don't know how quick it'll be, but I'll try. I really spent a lot of time there. Didn't mean to. But I want to show you something real quick. We're talking about the Word of God not passing away, being a source of wisdom for us, an absolute truth. Now I want you to go to 1 John, not John chapter 1. 1 John, back there on the other side, on this side of Jude, before you get to Revelation. Page 1787, if you got a Bible like mine. So you'll understand this. We're actually going to start in verse 24 of chapter 3. Same page, 1787. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and we're going to read down through verse 11. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wow. Which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Sometime around 150 AD, there was a man named Marcion. Marcion was a wealthy shipbuilder. His dad was, anyway. But Marcion argued that Jesus didn't actually come in the flesh because this flesh is rotten. And that Jesus didn't come in the flesh and he didn't really die. It's just an illusion an apparition. Is that how you say that? You know? But he really didn't die. It's all spiritual. Man, we got a problem, Houston. No sacrifice, no blood, no forgiveness of sins if Jesus didn't come in the flesh. But my point is, Marcion was peddling this stuff back in around 150 AD. Okay? So, guess what? That's the spirit of Antichrist according to this word. Amen? Let me keep going. He says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Oh, glory to God. Did you read that? You don't have to worry and fret about what's going around in the world. You do have to pray for your family, your children, your church, and your nation. Amen. And intercede for them. But you don't have to fear what's out in the world, because the greater one is living in you. All right, let me keep going. They are of the world, therefore, verse 5, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Watch, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I'll read that again. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. So, John says that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Now, let's go over here to the left and go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, let's go down to verse 15. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides or lives forever." Verse 18. "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, but by which we know that it is the last hour." Verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." Now, let me show you something here, if I may. The word Antichrist is made up of two Greek words, okay? One is anti, right? And it means against or in opposition. The word Christ actually comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, which got translated into Greek as Christos, which got translated as Christ in English. But at its root, it means anointed one or anointed. It carries the idea, this Greek word Christos carries the idea of to rub on, okay? Like you would a salve or an ointment. So, the Antichrist, he is against or in opposition to our Messiah. I mean, that's what Mashiach means. This is the word Messiah. Okay? Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. Okay? It simply means Jesus. You'll hear me read sometimes. It's not in my Bible, Messiah. But I'll read, instead of Jesus Christ, I'll read Jesus the Messiah. Why? Well, because the anointed one or Messiah carries with it the idea of kingship. Amen? And it's just my way of reminding me that he is my king. Amen? How does kingship get established, students? Yes! Oh, I love it. I say that all the time. Kingship is established with a great act of redemption. Amen? At the Red Sea, God established his kingship with a great act of redemption. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus reestablished that kingship. Amen. With that great act of redemption. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing more frustrated. Bishop T.D. Jakes, anybody ever heard of him? Okay. He said the true test of a teacher is what the student does with what they've been taught. Amen. So, you know, when I ask you a question, I'm really just trying to pump myself up. If you got the answer. But if you don't have the answer, after I've said it 1,000 times here, it kind of lets the air out. Amen. So, here's what I want you to see. The spirit of Antichrist is in opposition. He's in opposition to our Messiah. The spirit of Antichrist is always in opposition against God. Amen? Let me give you a good example. God told Noah, because the earth was so evil, God was going to destroy it. But then after the flood, he told Noah, he said, "Listen, if a man kills another man and spills his blood, I'm going to require that blood from him." Amen? Because, why? Because we are made in the image and the likeness of God. So to murder somebody is to destroy the image. Amen. How many know your Bible says that? I'm getting ready to close. How many of you know your Bible says? God says, before you were ever born, I formed you in that womb. Amen. There's several scriptures that talk about God forming life in mama's womb. Amen. So when you say that abortion is okay, you might be able to pass a law and legalize it, but I'm going to tell you, it's anti-God. It's going in opposition of God. Amen. The word iniquity at its root means to be bent and twisted, going away from God. Amen. I like that thing I see on Facebook. How did it go? I don't know, but it gave this girl, she had the right to do this, the right to do, oh, to right to give up her child for adoption. Okay. They put it on there. Okay, somebody did over there. Okay, but the point was, she had every right she wanted, except you don't have the right to abort your child. Amen. As a Christian, as a person who claims to serve a holy God, who says I've got to live holy before a holy God, how could I vote for somebody who's willing to pull a baby out of the womb and suck out its brain? My God, my King, help us. See, the only way to know, I'm going to cut it short here. It's not really short, but I'll get to the other part next time. The only way to know, for people to know if something is right or wrong, is to be a student of the Word of God. Jesus said, if you abide by my word, he said, if you love me, obey me. Amen. How can I say I love Jesus and be for murdering children, babies? It's perverse. It's perverted. It's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. God that we serve is a God of life. Amen. And we're in a battle. Amen. We are in a battle. This nation's in a battle. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to let our voice be heard. And we need to live holy before a holy God. Amen. It's my privilege to serve you communion. Somebody let Debbie know we're about to take communion. She's down there. Come on, Jackie and Carolyn, give me a hand, will you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, ladies. Praise his mighty name. Glory, glory, glory. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, you're being served the elements of communion, right? Bread, and the bread represents the body of Jesus. The juice represents the blood of Jesus. Now, at a Jewish betrothal ceremony, after they knock on the door and they come in and they hash out the contract for the bride and everything, then at some point the families come together and they have a communion meal. They are now one family. Amen? Are you seeing this? These two families now become one family. All right? We're taking communion this morning because we are part of the family of God. Amen? And so we are taking communion. We are communing with the Lord Jesus by taking of this. You also know that that cup, while it represents the precious blood of the Lamb, the Bible says that life is in the blood. And we know at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out his life to get them. Hallelujah. And so, while it represents life, it also represents that fourth cup in that Jewish betrothal ceremony that the young bride drinks of. And it's her vow. It represents her vow of fidelity and faithfulness until her bridegroom comes. Amen. Everybody get served. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who came in the flesh to become the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This morning, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you and remembrance that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer of the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Now, around here, we like to hold our cup up, and we say L'chaim, which means to life, on three. You ready? One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. But it also represents for us, it's symbolic of our vow to live holy before a holy God until he comes. Amen. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put your hands up one more time and praise him. Father, we just praise you and magnify you. You are so good to us, Father God. Help us, Lord, as your people, a holy people, to live according to the truth of your word. And Father, I thank you and praise you. And glorify you for that word, for that path, that direction in our life. Lead us, guide us, and direct us, Lord, this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll have a regular service, regular Sunday school. And then at 5 o'clock we'll have our 19th anniversary service. And we'll have finger foods afterwards. All right? Amen. You be blessed. And March 1st, I'll be teaching Sunday school on God's appointed time, the feast day. Okay? March 1st. Is that what I told you? Between the two of us, we can't remember part of the conversation. What time do you get? Oh, this is ours. Oh, I didn't tell you that. I didn't finish that. The brown jar.